of Mission Street. This is SpielPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from downtown San Francisco's Impact Hub in the Chronicle Building. Today is Thursday, the 26th of March, 2015. On this date, in 1169, Saladin, or Salah-ed-Din, as they say in Arabic, becomes the Emir of Egypt, who, by the way, was not Arab, but Kurd. 1314, the siege of Algeciras ends the first European military engagement where gunpowder was used. 1830, the Book of Mormon is published in Palmyra, New York. 1945, the Battle of Iwo Jima ends as the island is officially secured by American forces. 1953, Salk announces the polio vaccine. 1971, East Pakistan declares its independence from Pakistan to form Bangladesh. 1979, the Israeli-Egyptian peace agreement is signed. 1995, the Schengen Treaty comes into effect. Birthdays are Robert Frost, Tennessee Williams, Sterling Hayden, Leonard Nimoy, Vine Deloria. If you have not read Custard Died for Your Sins, you should read it. Richard Dawkins, Nancy Pelosi, Diana Ross, Martin Short, Larry Page, and Keira Knightley. Today is the traditional celebration of the prophet Zoroaster's birthday among Zoroastrians and Purple Day in Canada. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast is compiled and written by Ari Swieka. Thanks again for those posting on the forum. Somebody helpfully told us that a billion rubles is not 47 bucks, but is actually 17 million U.S. dollars. Thank you very much. Probably some math teacher or something. Thanks for that. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Thousands of people rallied in Tbilisi's Freedom Square on Saturday, the 21st of March, demanding the government's resignation. The rally was organized by the United National Movement, UNM. People came from San Agrelo and Ajada, Svaneti, all over the place. There's also a small demonstration in Gori. Demonstrators in Tbilisi carried Georgian, EU, and Ukrainian flags. UNM leader Dato Bakradze, who used to be Speaker of Parliament, Giga Bokeria, and Nika Melia spoke to the crowd from on stage and criticized the government for its inaction and for conducting the wrong economic policy. They also accused the government of being corrupt and promised that they would fight to change the situation. Misha appeared on screen and addressed people live from outside the EU Parliament building in Brussels. He said Georgia has a government which covers up crime and is dragging the country into the abyss. He urged Georgians to rise up again against the government, like the Rose Revolution. The UNM vowed to hold protest rallies across the country until the government resigns and bring in an interim technical government before early or scheduled elections are held. UNM leaders also said they would push to pass a vote of no confidence against the government in parliament. More in our parliamentary news on what that means. Afterwards, the crowd moved to the government office and left red cards in front of the office to symbolize the government that the government should leave, that meaning the chancellery. BI said the next day in his new talk show, 2030, that there were only 5,000 to 7,000 people at the rally, and it shows that people don't want the UNM back. Also, the day after the rally, people from the group of Eurasian Institute moved around spraying disinfectant around where the rally was, saying that the UNM supporters left behind their unhealthy ideological views. Strange thing about the Eurasian Institute is it is a clearly Kremlin-controlled entity. I saw a very slick UNM promo video that was on YouTube. Looks as if it was filmed by a drone, interestingly, but with high definition. So it must have been a pretty good size one to have a camera that could do a high definition video. Then I saw some other stuff via mobile phone that people filmed. Tabula, which is UNM affiliated, said 30,000 people. The government said 5,000, 7,000, but actually 10,000 was what they said. It was a pretty good number, but nowhere near Rose Revolution numbers. It filled Freedom Square, went up Rustavelli as far as about the museum, but was not packed. There was room to move around. From what I saw in the video, judging numbers in that sort of often used political real estate in Tbilisi to bracket sources, I would say that it was somewhere around 15,000 to 20,000 people, which is a pretty good number, but, you know, still not, I don't know, demanding the government's resignation type numbers. On the 20th of March, Tbilisi City Court acquitted UNM lawmaker Roland Achalaya, close Misha ally, for abuse of power while serving as chief prosecutor of San Agrelo, Zemo Svaneti. He was a much feared individual and very much abused his position, but they were evidently not able to prove that. Investigators claimed that Achalaya extorted about $90,000 from numerous people, and it was given to charity to a charity fund for the construction of a residence for the patriarch. The Tbilisi City Court judge said that according to the witness testimonies of the people who allegedly were extorted, they were not pressured into giving donations. The 10,000 lari bail, Achalayape, will be returned to him, and the court said that if he chooses to sue for moral damages, he will receive compensation. Roland, oh God, I hope he doesn't do that, because that would just be shameful. Roland Achalai, a majoritarian member of parliament from the Zugdidi single-mandate constituency, which is a huge constituency, by the way. I can't remember how many voters, but I mean, damn near 100,000, is the father of a former prison chief and ex-defense minister, Basho Achalai, who was sentenced to 7.5 years in jail in late 2014. His other son, former senior interior ministry official, Data Achalai, is wanted by the U.S., by the Georgian law enforcement agencies, but is outside the country. IRI, the International Republican Institute, chaired by John McCain, did a poll in February in Georgia conducted by IPM. The number of those who think that Georgia is moving in the wrong direction has seen a 22% increase over the past year to 55%, the highest figure since June 2009. 25% think the country is moving in the right direction, down from 48% in February 2014, and 20% do not know. Otsneba, the Jordan Dream Coalition, has 36% support among likely voters in the parliamentary elections in a year and a half. UNM has 14%, that's 1-4, followed by the pretty closely followed by the Free Democrats, which is essentially a vehicle for Alassani and doesn't really exist too much as a party. They have 10%. The Labor Party, Shalvanatalashvili's perennial entity, 6%. Alliance of Patriots of Georgia, 5%. And Democratic Movement United Georgia, led by Nina Bourgeoisie, 5%. They cooperate closely and are quite similar. That's 10% for them, which is a little bit frightening. They are both, in my view, heavily Kremlin associated. Healthcare in the Republicans, I can't remember what they are, but they're in the maybe in the teens somewhere. Healthcare Minister Dato Serganenko and Georgi Margvelashvili, president, lead on personal numbers with 62%, followed by Alassani and Usupashvili with 57% each. Among opposition politicians, Alassani is the highest, followed by UNM parliamentary leader, minority leader, Dato Bakradze with 47%, Prime Minister Kharabashvili has 56% favorable rating, then Tetz Lukiani, 51%, and Kahi Kaladze, Energy Minister, at 48%. Georgian Orthodox Church still enjoys the highest favorable rating with 91% compared to 94% in February, followed by the Georgian Army, which is 87% compared to 93% in February 2014. Georgian media, 82%, which is about the same as a year ago. The police, 65%, down from 82% a year ago. Education system is 62% down from 64% a year ago. Parliament is 49% down from 68% a year ago. Government is 48% down from 69% a year ago. Courts, 41% down from 52% a year ago. So pretty much everybody except the media is getting less popular. 78% of the respondents are supportive of Georgia's NATO membership, and support for joining the European Union stands at 85%, according to the poll. Georgia's government handling of relations with Russia is assessed positively by 59% of the respondents and negatively by 26%. 76% of respondents think that Russia is a threat. All of this comes from civil.ge. I have not seen the original report or press release, which I could not find online. Those were 1,500 respondents were interviewed in the survey, which is funded by USAID. It has a margin of error or plus or minus 2.5%. The number of those who think that Georgia is moving in the wrong direction has seen a 22% increase over the past year to 55%, the highest figure since June 2009. 25% think it's moving in the right direction, down from 48% last year. Okay, all right, sorry, excuse me. On the 25th of March, the Monetary Policy Committee of the National Bank announced that they will keep refinancing rate unchanged at 4.5% after it was increased by 50 basis points last month. They said that depreciation of the lari against the U.S. dollar is expected to push inflation up in the coming months, but weakening external and domestic Demand is likely to offset upside risk to inflation in the medium term. According to existing forecasts, by the end of 2015, inflation will remain within 5%. Annual inflation in February was 1.3%. Next meeting of the Monetary Policy Committee will be held on the 6th of May. According to an official exchange rate of the National Bank on the 26th of March, the U.S. dollar was 2.2255 lari. On the 18th of March, Russian and Georgian diplomats had a meeting in Geneva. The Geneva talks argued about the Treaty on Alliance and Integration Russia signed with South Ossetia, in which the Kremlin essentially annexed South Ossetia. The Georgian side brought it up that the Georgian, but the Georgian side objected, saying it wasn't the subject of the Geneva talks. As a reminder, the Geneva talks is a dialogue involving the conflict parties from the 2008 war. Both the Georgian and Russian deputy foreign ministers described the sessions as very tense. Also, according to the foreign ministry, at the meeting, Georgia requested that Georgians living in Gali and Abkhazia be allowed to use Georgian as a teaching language in schools, but that certain participants of the talks found that the demands were unacceptable, and they left. The next round of Geneva talks is scheduled for the end of June 2015. Ethnic Azeris in Georgia celebrated Nowruz, or Persian New Year, which is the spring equinox, on the 21st of March. President Margvelashvili and Prime Minister Khadabashvili made a rare joint appearance for the festivities in Marneuli. On the 25th of March, the Prosecutor General's Office questioned former Deputy Defense Minister Zaza Broladze for 9 hours in connection with the Cables case, for which former Defense Minister Irakli Alasania was sacked in November 2014. As a reminder, 5 Defense Ministry officials were detained in October 2014, accused of embezzling $2.3 million in a tender with telecom company Silknet. Broladze said that he resigned from his post in November 2013 before the deal with Silknet was signed in December 2013. He also said that Alasania was not in charge of signing the agreement, but received information about every issue brought up during sessions. I looked into this somewhat last time I was in Tbilisi, and from what I understand, the whole case and the set of charges is complete bullshit and was simply done as an excuse to get rid of Alasania, illustrating the political cooperation between the government and the prosecutor's office that remains from the Soviet era through Shevardnadze, through Misha's time, and now. 2 TV hosts from Imedi TV have accused the Georgian Dream of trying to pressure them. Journalist Inga Grigolia claims that she was called by members of the Georgian Dream parliamentary majority demanding that she not cover the 21st of March UNM rally on her show, Reaktsiya. They then refused to appear on her show as scheduled and participate in the debate. Later, another Imedi journalist, Eka Khoperia said that the government doesn't like Imedi because it's objective. Imedi TV said that the company distances itself from the 2 journalist statements, claiming that they had no basis, and neither the Georgian Dream nor any other political faction is attempting to intervene in the editorial policy of Reaktsiya or the channel itself. Norway's parliamentary speaker was on an official visit to Tbilisi from the 23rd to the 26th of March. He said that an ongoing aggression against Ukraine is actually the same aggression that was carried out against Georgia in August 2008, and that, quote, the only good answer to Russian aggression in the long term is to show your ability to build a society that can give welfare to the population and the ability to build a true democracy, end quote. According to parliamentary speaker Data Utsupashvili, they also discussed Norway's support for Georgia's NATO membership. Following up on last week's story, major NGOs, including IDFI, GILA, Georgian Young Lawyers, the OSGF, which is Soros, and the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, launched a petition for the Georgian Dream Otsneva Coalition to address anti-Western statements recently made by some coalition members, including Gogi Topadze and Zura Tremeladze, with an important position dealing with the economy in parliament. He's the head of the committee. They expressed concerns about anti-EU and anti-NATO public statements, saying that it's an attempt to establish a nihilistic attitude towards Georgia's European integration course and fuel anti-Western attitudes. They call on Georgian Dream parties to clarify their position on anti-Western attitudes of their colleagues and to react adequately. Prime Minister Khadabashvili's visit to Ukraine was delayed without explanation. Officials reiterated that they are preparing for the visit. According to an interview in Kvitis Palitra, Economic Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili wants to use Georgia's EU association agreement, and particularly the part about the deep and comprehensive free trade agreement, to make Georgia a springboard for Chinese companies to trade in the European market. As a reminder, Kvitikashvili was on an official trip to China earlier in the month, where he met with the director of the Silk Road Development Fund and their Minister of Commerce. Kvitikashvili argued that if Georgia brings at least 1% of China's international transit of goods through its transit corridor, which is a pretty big job, Georgia's trade turnover will double. So the idea is to make Georgia a logistic and production hub because of the DCFTA. Kvitikashvili also said in a separate interview that the lari would stabilize soon, as they are expecting an inflow of foreign currency this summer. What all of this is talking about is that if they can have a factory where half of the components are made in, or 49% of the components are made in China and then brought to Georgia, and 51% of the components are made and they're assembled, and sort of 51% of the value of the gizmo or whatever it is made in Georgia. That means that it will, after this agreement, be able to be exported on duty-free to the EU. China has duty and sometimes quite high anti-dumping tariffs on almost everything it makes. So China's beginning to set up places that have no duty or tariffs with the EU, which is the situation that Georgia will be in for not everything, but a lot of things after the DCFTA takes place. Trade mission from the Netherlands is coming to Georgia from the 7th to the 9th of April, led by the Vice Minister of Foreign Trade and including several Dutch companies. We don't have more information on that for now. We'll keep you posted. According to information by Geostat, the Netherlands was on top of four countries investing in Georgia in 2014 with $331 million. Lots of that, as previously stated, is simply a registration of convenience by Dutch law firms, repackaging funds from Russia and the Muslim world. According to a new report by the U.S. State Department, the use of homemade drugs and import of new psychotropic substances in Georgia has decreased by over 90% since 2013. This is because the government has implemented legislative amendments to fight illegal drug use, as well as increasing the list of medical drugs that can't be purchased without a prescription. I don't know if I actually believe this. The International Narcotic Control Strategy Report 2015 continues to note that Georgia is both a transit country and a destination country for illicit drugs produced in other countries. The estimated number of injected drug users in Georgia is about 45,000 and mostly male. Following up on previous week's stories, the Ministry of Health will launch its new program to treat hepatitis C patients on the 21st of April. They will begin to treat 5,000 patients in the most severe condition. Health Minister Dr. Sagarenko said that the first batch of medicines from the U.S. will arrive soon. The National Food Agency issued a warning last week against buying certain semi-processed food products from grocery stores like frozen Bengali after finding traces of listeria. As mandated by law, the companies with the contaminated products were fined a whopping 1,000 lari, which is now about $400, and their production is suspended until they inspect all raw food they use. We don't know if that's happening or not. The companies were Racha Limited, Geo Limited, Progressi Alvani Limited, and Pino Limited. I will say those again for those of you about to go out shopping. Racha Limited, Geo Limited, Progressi Alvani Limited, and Pino Limited. On the 19th of March, an employee of the Interior Ministry was fired because he was allegedly handing over secret information to UNM Parliament member Givi Targamadze. Nine other cops were also fired for leaking information to lawyers and private individuals. Investigation conducted by the General Inspection of the Interior Ministry claims that Ruslan Baziashvili and the patrol police broke into the minister's computer system and illegally obtained information about a particular person. He provided Targamadze with photos that showed the person crossing the border. The citizen is suspected of murdering a policeman, and the opposition believes that officials in the Interior Ministry helped him cross the border to avoid punishment. Ministry of Internal Affairs released a statement calling on political parties to stop their attempts to discredit the police and reminded police officers that they have no right to use their official powers in favor of any political party's interests. Following up on previous month's stories, the local government of Jada has proposed a solution for the overcrowded Orta Jame Mosque in Batumi. They will buy two buildings from the local Muslim for the local Muslim community. One will be used for a madrasa. The other will be an office. As a reminder, Muslims in Batumi have been asking to solve the issue of overcrowded mosques for three decades. On Friday, worshippers have to pray in the streets because there's no space inside the mosque. They want permission to build a second mosque in the city, but every government until now has failed to allow them to do it. More than 40,000 students will write national exams this summer to enter university in Georgia, according to the National Examination Center. There are 12,000 candidates registered for the entrance exam for master's degree. This year, the exam features a new subject on civic education. Candidates must also pass a logic test, Georgian literature and grammar, and a foreign language, and they can choose between math, history, geography, biology, chemistry, and physics. Georgia joined the UN social campaign World Down Syndrome Day that was on the 21st of March. The idea is to raise awareness and money for people with Down syndrome. It was organized with the support of President Mark Velashvili, who hosted children with Down syndrome at the Presidential Palace. There was a World Down Syndrome Day walk organized by Our Children's Association campaign. People were encouraged to take a photo with brightly colored socks on their arms and upload it on social media. People from the government and actors participated as well. Several international financial institutions are teaming up to invest $400 million in the construction operation of the Shuachevi hydropower plant. Shuachevi Dam is a run-of-the-river plant currently under construction in Ajada. It's expected to be operational in 2016. It's also expected to produce 450 gigawatt hours of power annually and reduce greenhouse gas emissions by more than 200,000 tons a year. The last phase of the construction will be financed by Ajada Iskali, Georgia, a joint venture between India's Tata Power and Norway's Clean Energy Invest, with 40% each and the remaining 20% by the International Finance Corporation. The $250 million debt financing arrangement by IFC represents the largest ever private hydropower investment in Georgia, consisting of two $90 million long-term senior loans from the Asia Development Bank and EBRD, and $70 million from the IFC. Tbilisi International Airport was named as one of the top 10 best airports in Eastern Europe for the second time in a row by Skytrax World Airport Awards. The other nine international airports were Budapest, Tallinn, Kiev, Riga, Belgrade, Sofia, Bratislava, Skopje, and Varna. I don't know if Budapest and Bratislava are Eastern European, but okay. And I may say that the Tallinn airport has the fastest free public Wi-Fi I have ever used. Tbilisi's airport doesn't seem to have any Wi-Fi anymore in my experience. The state-owned shareholding company Partnership Fund is working on establishing an export promotion agency. According to their plan, exports will be promoted in four main directions: export credit, investment protection, financial guarantees, factoring and factoring operations. They will work with Italian export promotion agency SACE, S-A-C-E. The International Prosecution Advisory Panel recommended the Chief Prosecutor's Office to continue its prosecution against Misha and other former high-ranking officials. Surprise, surprise. They spent months reviewing the materials provided by the Prosecutor's Office regarding the November 2007 protest crackdown and raid on Imedi TV headquarters and concluded the provided evidence was sufficient to support the indictment. The International Prosecution Advisory Panel was created in July 2014 under the initiation of the Chief Prosecutor. The panel was composed of Sir Geoffrey Nice, Queen's Counsel, Moshe Lador, former State Prosecutor of Israel, and Paul Coffey, former Chief of the United States Department of Justice Organized Crime and Racketeering Section. I mean, they didn't discuss the impartiality of it and the fact that all of these people that are being prosecuted are from the former government and nobody else from Shevardnadze's era or any of their own people are being looked at in any way. A biathlon track will be built in Bakudiani. The biathlon, which combines cross-country skiing and rifle shooting, is a popular sport in Soviet times. The new track will meet modern Olympic standards and be a potential host venue for international competitors. Construction of the track is scheduled to be completed by 2016. Georgia's Mountain Resorts Development Company has asked a French company, which has not been publicly named, to design the new track. The Ministry of Economy will allocate money towards the project. Georgia's national rugby team is the 2015 European Nations Cup champion again. The Lilos defeated Romania 15-6 in Bucharest. They also won the Antrim Cup. There's a great editorial sort of op-ed in the Telegraph saying that Georgia should replace Italy in the Six Nations, which is sort of the highest status rugby competition, that Georgia's a gazillion times better than Italy. And the only reason that it's not for any good reason, but just because people would rather visit Italy than, people in the rest of Europe would rather visit Italy than Georgia. But it's a nice article. Hats off to the Telegraph for that. Never thought I'd say hats off to the Telegraph, but hey, there we go. The EU and UN worked with the National Center of Manuscripts of Georgia to reproduce the Mochvi Gospel, a miniature of the Georgian calligraphic painted at the turn of the 14th century. They also made reproductions of it in the Georgian and in Georgian and Abkhaz with English translations. According to a memorandum of understanding signed between Georgia's Maritime Transport Agency and Korea Ministry of Fisheries, Georgian sailors can now be employed in the Korean maritime industry. The agreement entails mutual recognition of certificates of sailors' training and certification standards. And there are a lot of Korean ships, certainly a lot of Korean-built ships and Korean-registered ships. Tbilisi will host the Judo Grand Prix 2016. According to the International Judo Foundation, the competition will be held in the new sports palace, which is currently under construction. Georgian NBA player Zaza Pachulia of the Milwaukee Bucks made world basketball history after grabbing 21 rebounds. That is 21 rebounds in an NBA match on the 20th of March. 31-year-old Pachulia has been playing in the NBA since 2003. He's also captain of Georgia's national basketball team, and he is very tall. Main square of the town, Pietrasanta in Tuscany, will exhibit the work of Georgian artist Vaja Mikhaberidze over Easter until the 12th of April. Aptly, his work comprises egg-shaped sculptures, and the exhibit will be opened by the mayor of Pietrasanta. Traditionally, the city's main square, the Piazza del Duomo, hosts an exhibition of contemporary art in Easter. About 30 children from Donetsk Oblast affected by the armed conflict in Ukraine will spend 10 days in Georgia for relaxation and psychological rehabilitation. The group will arrive in Georgia the 15th of April and stay for 10 days. The idea was proposed by the Minister of Health, Dato Sergeyenko. Last summer, a group of about 130 Ukrainian children spent time in Georgia under the same initiative. At the EU summit in Brussels, the EU pledged to offer 28 million euros to Georgia and other Eastern European countries that are withstanding pressure from Russia. They didn't say how the aid would be divided between the countries. Georgian opera singers will be performing at La Scala in Milan. Soprano Sofia Mchedlishvili will play Mercedes in the opera Carmen until June, and in June, two other Georgian singers, Anita Mchedlishvili and Nino Machaidze, will join in the same production of the roles of Carmen and Michaela. The other two Georgian opera stars will perform in Japan, Iano Alibegashvili, a.k.a. Iano Tamar, and Ketevan Kemoklidze will perform in Verdi's opera The Force of Destiny at the New Theater in Tokyo in April. According to Gallup poll, Georgia ranked as one of the countries with the lowest positive emotions in the world. Latin American countries are on the top with positive emotions. Some of the questions asked to determine the results were, did you feel well rested yesterday? Were you treated with respect all day yesterday? Did you smile or laugh a lot yesterday? Did you learn or do something interesting yesterday? It's in our things to read. In parliamentary news, following up on previous week's stories, on the 20th of March, Parliament approved Nino Venetadze as the new head of the Supreme Court with 88 votes for and 0 against. As a reminder, Venetadze was nominated by President Margvelashvili. She was previously a Supreme Court judge but was dismissed in 2005 after criticizing Chief Justice Kote Kubalashvili for pressuring judges. Until 2012, she was a member of the Republican Party, which is part of the Otsneva coalition. As mentioned earlier, on the 21st of March, the UNM announced at a protest rally in Tbilisi that they will try to launch procedures for a no-confidence vote against the government. To do that, they need the support of at least a dozen Georgian Dream Coalition members of parliament. Currently, there are a total of 149 members of parliament in the 150-seat parliament. That's because one seat is vacant after the death of a UNM lawmaker. The seat will not be filled until by-elections in Martvili, single mandate constituency in October 2015. Georgian Dream Coalition holds 87 seats, UNM 50, the Free Democrats 8, and 4 seats are held by independent lawmakers. According to the Constitution, and this is a little complicated, so everybody listen, there are certain procedures for a no-confidence vote. The support of no less than two-fifths of members of Parliament is required to formally request initiating a no-confidence vote. That is 60 lawmakers, 6-0. The process is deemed initiated if more than half of lawmakers support it, 75. If it fails to get enough votes, the initiative cannot be raised again for 6 months. If the process is endorsed, the Parliament must hold a separate vote to nominate the new prime ministerial candidate selected by at least two-fifths of members of Parliament, 60 lawmakers. The candidate will require the support of at least 75 members of Parliament for endorsement. No confidence vote will be ceased if the candidate fails to get 75 votes. If a new candidate is endorsed by the Parliament, then the President comes into play. The President must either endorse or reject the nomination within 5 days. If the President endorses the candidate then nominates a new cabinet. New cabinet members in the process will go back to the Parliament for an additional vote for final confirmation of the new government, which will again require the support of at least 75 MPs. If the President vetoes a prime ministerial candidate, the Parliament has the right to vote to nominate him or her, but will need a three-fifths majority, which is 99-0 lawmakers. If the Parliament fails to override the President's veto, the President will have the right to dissolve the Parliament and call for early elections. Democrats leader Irakli Alassania said that his party, which holds 8 seats in the Parliament, will not join the UNM parliamentary majority initiative to launch a no-confidence vote against the government. There's not much chance of a no-confidence vote anytime soon, as far as I can see. The meme this week is a video of a Georgian woman caught by Turkish customs at the Sarpi border crossing trying to get into Turkey by hiding inside a suitcase. Turkish border officials thought the case was suspicious and asked for it to be opened for inspection. Another meme was a photo posted by Tamar Chirgulashvili, who's the editor of Tabula magazine. She compares the Georgian Dream rally at Freedom Square to 2012 and the UNM rally this past weekend. Seems like the same turnout, but according to Dreamers math, one rally had a turnout of 100,000, the other had a rally of 5,000. I do think that there was about 100,000 people on the street or close to it, 80,000 for the Rose Revolution, and as I said before, maybe 20,000 for this one. Very important report from TI Georgia on how the Ministry of Finance concealed massive budget underspending for 2014. Gallup poll on where people experience positive and negative emotions around the world, as we mentioned. Georgia's not doing so good in the positive emotions. A lot of negative emotions around. Maybe they actually have positive emotions, but just complain a lot. I don't know. Hard to say if that's possible. Democracy and Freedom Watch talks with people working to prevent child marriage in Femokartli region. The Washington Post talks with Georgians hit hard by the economic fallout in Russia and Ukraine. Post by the organization TED of TEDx Talks has a gallery of 10 buildings that showcase the future of architecture, is included as McDonald's fuel station in Batumi. Interview with Vyacheslav Chirkva, the foreign minister of Abkhazia, who talks about the importance of peace in the beautiful and ancient country of Syria for Abkhazia. He also comments that the U.S. and the EU travel rules that prevent Abkhaz nationals from traveling abroad is a violation of basic human rights. The interview is in Sputnik News, which is the hysterical Kremlin BS sheet that you may have heard of. This week, for CRRC's 500th blog post, they are featuring a guest post from the blog's founder and guiding light, Hans Gudbrot. He says the future of social science in the South Caucasus is in ensuring quality, consistency, and transparency. State Minister for Euro-Atlantic Integration, David Bakradze writes, in your active appealing to the lift of the visa requirements for Georgians to the EU. An Amnesty International video, I'm not sure about that. I'll try and check that. An Amnesty International video campaign in support of jailed human rights activists in Azerbaijan. All these things are posted on the forum. Geocapital number is $40 million. That is how many dollars the National Bank sold on the 19th of March foreign currency auction to support the lari, which fell slightly over 1% against the dollar that day. It was the central bank's fourth intervention this year after selling $120 million on three separate occasions in February 2015. National Museum of Georgia and the Tbilisi History Museum Karvasla will host the exhibition Marginalia. It will show works of three self-educated Tbilisi-based Armenian artists illustrating identity in Tbilisi in the 19th and 20th centuries. Exhibition will run from the 1st to the 27th of April. Sounds cool. In Tbilisi, a copy of the Diary of Anne Frank is being exhibited at Europe House in Freedom Square until the 30th of March. The exhibition is organized by NGO Analytical Center for Inter-Ethnic Cooperation and Consultation. In London, on the 28th of March at noon, there'll be another Khachapuri-making workshop at restaurant Tbilisi, RSVP to Anna, that is A-N-A, underscore Mironova, M-I-R-O-N-O-V-A, at yahoo.com to attend. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tblpod.com. And we'll finish from his seminal 1982 album, Friend or Foe, in which every track is a work of unparalleled awesomeness. This is Adam Ant and Man Called Marco.
Hello, I'm Marco. Allow me to introduce my 507.